Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. There appears to be some technical difficulty. I'm not sure if I'm broadcasting at this point or not, but what is taking place is it tells me that I am logging into a previous show. Whether that be the case or not, I'll proceed from this point. But if we become interrupted, it's because of network difficulties, and I apologize for that. Not sure what the problem is. I'll look into it. But at this point, I have signed in several times, and it tells me that I'm logging into the previous show, not mine, although my screen shows that I am up. Hopefully you're here. Hopefully we'll be able to share some information with you that will be of value to you. One of the things that I want to concentrate on today, staying refreshed. Being refreshed gives you the productivity, the accuracy, and precision that you need in order to succeed. Let me explain that to you. Many of us have faith, various religions, but when we read the Bible, we find that man rests on the seventh day. And that is a time of reflection. That's a time of rest. That's a time of rejuvenation. And that lesson should be exercised every day that we work. Sometimes we have that opportunity. Sometimes we don't. Even on assembly line jobs, there are usually breaks built into the day, and that's to avoid fatigue. Now, those of us that work on the creative side of things, and I'm not saying that one side is better than another, but that allows us to rejuvenate our brain. We use a lot of calories, a lot of energy when we are doing creative things. I used to be able to do physical work all day, go to sleep, wake up the next morning, and be refreshed. In doing creative things, I sometimes did not get enough rest during the same period of time. And so we have to understand that. I used to do a spreadsheet, and it was tedious, and I had to be accurate. And many times I would push through to get it done, push through to get it done, because I knew what was there. I could check my accuracy as I went. But I found after doing this many times that my productivity while continuing actually decreased. It decreased to the point that I could take a break every half hour, every 60 minutes, whatever the case may be, and perform more and feel better about it by taking small breaks. What do you do on these breaks? Sometimes I just walk to the outside and get some fresh air for a minute or two. Sometimes it's just walking. Sometimes it's just allowing your mind to drift away for a few minutes. This is a form of being refreshed. And generally, the more difficult mental challenges that you're facing, the more it's necessary. And this is very, very important, because many of us are proceeding on a line where we are pursuing something, whether it's writing a book, whether it's starting a business, whether it's actually doing work. Sometimes it's imagination work. I have a friend that, you know, makes metal sculptures and cuts things out of metal and what have you. I can imagine that while there is a physical component to that, there's also a mental component to it. Staying refreshed, staying invigorated, staying innovative, creative, does require energy. The thing that is different between daydreamers is that's all they do. They dream and never do the action. Successful people dream, but they put it into action. No matter the job that you're doing. Yeah, there's sometimes when we can't take breaks all the time. Sometimes we need a break to go to the restroom. Sometimes we need a break to have a sip of water or a sip of coffee or something. I normally recommend that we stay away from things that decrease our performance. You know, some people may find that imbibing in some form, while it may be somewhat of a stimulus in the beginning, maybe, I'm not attributing it to that, continued use is going to result in degradation of performance. So we try to stay away from that as best we can, because the long-term consequences to our health, both mental and physical, are sometimes very gradual. We don't see it. It's much as if I were doing that spreadsheet. I would become fatigued, but it was such a gradual onset of fatigue that I was not recognizing it. And I got to the point of trying to see which was more productive. Not only was I more productive, but I felt better about what I was doing. I would sometimes set a number of entries that I was going to make, or I set a time. And so I'm adhering to it. And sometimes my body, my brain, my systems were saying, it's time for a break. It's time to refresh yourself. But I was dogged, determined. And yeah, there are times when you don't have that luxury. I remember 1 week working, I had 240 straight hours of work in that 1 week. Two of the other days were 16-hour days. My performance sucked at the end of that time. I was able to maintain a level, but it wasn't what it should have been. It wasn't as sharp as it should have been. We sometimes use that perseverance and substitute it for good judgment. So we need to do this. During the day, we take those small breaks. Sometimes you'd be surprised at how much a drink of water will improve your performance. You may not see it right away, but in the long run, it will. Now, I suggest strongly that we stay away from those things that are somewhat harmful to us. Some people continue to drink sugared drinks all day long, and then with a lack of exercise, wonder why they're gaining weight. And sometimes it's more than just gaining weight. Sometimes there is a mental fog associated with what you're doing, a mental fog. And just like going from a clear sky to a barely hazy sky, we don't oftentimes notice the drop in acuity at long distances. It's gradual. And so we miss it. It's an important clue to us. So we need to keep ourselves refreshed during the day, during the week. Sometimes we have to work 7 days in a row or more days in a row. But we oftentimes end up needing a refreshment. I remember at one time I had considered the possibility of working in Alaska. And there they worked X number of weeks. And then you got a week or two off, whatever it was. They understood, and this was the best balance they could come up at the time, for the need to be working and productive and the need to refresh. It's there, whether we see it or not. We think that determination is what leads to success. But you can go through a period of burnout, a point where you get so tired of something that you are no longer effective at that love that you had going in. Sometimes we can go right back to it. Sometimes it takes longer. But we need to prepare. We need to plan in our schedule these things. Let me explain a couple of things to you that may have been confusing. And I found that in talking to people, sometimes they don't understand the concept that was attempted to be relayed. I say put in those things in your calendar, not just thinking about it, not just hopefully wishing, but to the extent possible. If you have kids, try to become involved in their lives as well. When they are participating in a play, try to attend. And if that means taking a day of vacation, then that may be the most important thing that you can do, of using that in association with the reference or the recreation, rejuvenation of your body, mind, and soul. When I worked rotating shifts, I sometimes had to look days ahead. And many times I found that, and I have to admit that one thing that I usually did is look at, in planning vacations, not to be gone on a holiday. Although I would be paid for a holiday, I would be paid two and a half times the holiday if I worked it. And so many times I was still able to observe the holiday and get holiday pay. Because when I was on swing shift, let's say, for example, and the kids were small, man, we'd be up early enjoying things, and then I'd go to work. If it was swing shift, I could still do it. We had more time. If it was on graveyard, as soon as I got home, we did it. And every fourth go-around or so, I would be completely off, planned for it. That was part of my schedule. Many times this happens. Sometimes we can swap days with another person that's working. Sometimes we can't. And one of the things that I never quite understood, and I'm sure that there is a logical and reasonable reason for it, we have some people working in jobs where they don't know their schedule from one week to the other. And that would tend to drive me crazy. Because if I have a regular schedule, I can plan for it. Even if I had classes, I can plan by speaking with the professor, saying that I'll be working this day, what are we working on, what do I need to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It may be that I study independently and that person is available for questions should they come up. There are ways around it. Some people will work with you, some won't, some can't. But to the extent possible, use that. Utilize it. Water is a great, great thing to do for a brief few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, that you can get away with. Sometimes a brief walk. And in many cases, we try to give workers a break after 2 hours. And generally, depending upon the type of work it is, that works out okay. Sometimes you can be relieved for a period of time. Sometimes we have floaters that can do that. But explore it because it's beneficial. some jobs I was on, that was completely out of the question. Completely out of the question. When I was laying brick, I mean, we could get a drink of water, but I was working one job, and I remember laying 12-inch concrete block, which are heavy. And it was to a point where we were laying them over our heads. We had a hop board that we had to jump on. A hop board is when you're on the scaffold and you have another plank or two laid up there so that you can get up another foot or so. And that takes a lot out of you. And supervisor said, no, you don't go get water. You send the labor after the water. Well, I can understand it, but now we find that people are more productive by doing it right than just driving people until they fall. And we see this. Don't do that. Try everything that you can to avoid that. As we proceed on with our lives, let's build those things into our life. Your kid is in a play, and right now our high schools, middle schools, and whatever are doing just that. One of the middle schools that I'm familiar with is having a play this weekend, or during the week and leading up to that. Now, the kids have put in a lot of work. Sometimes they're there before school starts and after school ends. But they are dedicated. They deserve an appreciative audience. And at the same time, we need some rest, relaxation, change of scenery, whatever it is. Many times when I thought of a vacation, it had to be somewhere besides where I was. But I actually learned to take many vacations. You know, I told you that I had for many years, a rotating schedule. There were days that I had off in the middle of the week. And sometimes I would go. I would travel within a day's ride of where I was, particularly when I started riding motorcycles. I could go somewhere that I had never been before that was close to me. And it was just a wonderful experience. Because I enjoyed being out in the open. I enjoyed riding through roads lined with grape orchards and just smelling the produce or other joys of being out in the open. And it was very refreshing to me to do so. That may not have any interest whatsoever to you. But you find those things that you enjoy doing that give you the rest, the relaxation. Sometimes when weather was not permitting or time was not permitted, just going down to the river and watching the ducks and the geese and the squirrels run up trees and stuff was a relaxing thing. I got a camera and became very involved in trying to take pictures of wildlife. You'd be surprised sometimes. And some people are not in this mode. I have a doctor whose father was a veterinarian, and he makes some of the most incredible pictures of wildlife that you've ever seen. I mean, you could have a gallery of these paintings. And when I was in his previous office, many of those pictures are there. You can see them, and I would just love them and wish that I could join it. I had a situation where I was given a diagnosis. They thought that I had cancer, and I was given 6 to 10 months to live. Well, I'd get up and look out the window, and it's dreary. Or it would have been dreary prior to. But I got myself to the point that every day that I am alive is a beautiful day. Rain doesn't make an ugly day. Rain requires adaptations. Sometimes I could still go outside. Sometimes I couldn't. But I was always using that imagination to come up with something that I could do, something that I enjoyed doing, something that needed to be done. It doesn't always have to be fun, ride the Ferris wheel fun, ride the roller coaster fun, eating cotton candy and candied apples fun. But what is important to you? And work this into your schedule. Work it in as frequently as you can. And you keep yourself invigorated. This is why every day, even in those periods of times, I think we keep focus on what we are doing, our long-term goal. In my office, I had a picture of a motorcycle that I wanted. I had one and was riding it every day. But I could look at that picture and imagine some of the trips, some of the places, some of the things that I wanted to experience on it. And believe it or not, that became a reality. I ended up with the exact same motorcycle, different color, but I had the opportunity to get it in that color. I didn't have the opportunity to get the picture in the other color, but I have to use some of my imagination. It became a reality, and I think there were a couple of things that happened there. My ability to see it and not lust after it, and my ability to use it for mental relaxation worked well. I remember my wife and I worked different jobs. We had a son. We had a daughter. And we would often pass each other. We could have done it together. But we were coming from different directions to watch the kids' games. And generally I'd watch half of one, go watch the other half of the other kids' games. They knew we were there. They knew that we were involved in their life. It benefited both of us. Sometimes I had to leave work a bit early, but it was worth it. I had some flexibility in my schedule, and I could use it to the advantage. But we kept our minds stimulated, and this is what you need to do. I think it refers back to that biblical refreshing. We sometimes don't think of this in those terms, but I think that we should do that. Now, let's go a little bit deeper into that. When we make a to-do list every day, sometimes we put tasks that are bigger than a bite. Bigger than a bite. What do I mean by this? Let's say that you're writing a book and you want to write a chapter today. Well, you're not going to get that done in 15 minutes. You're not going to get it done in 30 minutes in most cases, depending upon type of book that you're doing and how much thought and preparation you've done to it. But you can break that down into smaller components, components of which you can complete. And there's two reasons, or at least two reasons to do this. One, when it becomes a manageable size bite, we're not completely intimidated by it. Because many people go to a sheet of paper and say, what am I going to do? And they reach this block. Sometimes a way to get unstuck is just to write about anything until that creative gear starts to move, and then put that aside and go back to where your mind has gone in the meantime. But if you break it into smaller pieces, you can tick off each success that you do. One may be to prepare your place. One may be to research and say, I'm going to do 15 minutes worth of research. Let's say that you sit down to your computer and you look up an article or you look up something. You don't have to do a complete read of that at that time, although some people find that preferable to do. But sometimes what I do is I'll note where the information is, note another source, another source, another source, another source, and I can do this for a few minutes. I'm generally fresh at this point, then I might want to do something else. If you're understanding what I'm telling you, you have taken this sometimes week, sometimes month job and broken it down into increments that can be done in 10, 15 minute steps. It may sound ridiculous to you, but I guarantee you that most of the successful people do it that way. That should be a clue. Everybody can't do it that way. But why don't you try that way? Sometimes when we try something, we learn something. It's like on a computer. There's generally more than one way to do anything that you're doing. And sometimes you stumble across it. I know sometimes I have gone into programs and I am really, really stuck. And I do something and I get where I want to go. But I've, at this point, forgotten the steps that I did. And sometimes I have to repeat them and repeat them and repeat them. And I find that one of the ways of minimizing that time is, and it sounds like a waste of time, and to some people it may be, but to me it's not. And that is somewhere to write down what I did as I go along, or as it's done, and I try to recreate it. Now, once I've done this a few times, I don't need that anymore, but I generally keep it there. Because sometimes after being gone for a while or going through certain events, you find it necessary. If you're going to have to do something time and time again, yeah, you're going to get to the point where you can do it. But if you discover something along the way, you might want to make note of it. I had similar situation happen to me before. I ended up with a laptop computer, and I had certain keys that got stuck. Well, I am beating myself into a lather as to how am I going to write if I can't use these keys or this part of the keyboard. Taking a break, I thought, hey, I can get a wireless keyboard. Great, great, great idea. And I'm using it right now. Well, not while I'm on the program, but as soon as the program ends, I will be using that setup. I didn't panic. I didn't have to go out and spend hundreds of dollars on another computer. I didn't have to spend a lot of money to get a new keyboard on the one that I had. I spent $25 and got a keyboard and a mouse. And they have become second nature to me. In fact, it's as good or better setup than I had before because it gives me more room, and I've got stumble fingers. It actually eased that situation. This is sometimes what happens. When we find ourselves facing a problem, sometimes we think, gosh, I got to do something, and I got to do it now. And there are many situations where that happens. But there are many situations where if you just stop to think, you could save yourself a lot of problems. I had a problem last year when it came to my garden. And I needed some seeds or plants or something. And I thought about a store. It's way across town. And as I'm walking to my car, I'm thinking, why in the world am I going there to get them when I have two other alternatives that are both closer, easier to get to? In fact, one of them I had to drive by in order to get where I was going, same brand store. But we sometimes beat ourselves into a lather by not thinking a problem through. We find in many cases that the calm head is the one that finds success. As a leader, when you panic, those following you panic. But when you have a cool, calm head, you think better, everybody thinks better, and that goes down the line. They see how it works. Sometimes we're around people that always are in high gear. And sometimes it's because they're not thinking. I saved myself probably 20 miles of driving and 2 hours of time by taking a couple of minutes to think. But when we break down things into smaller chunks, sometimes when we get to that chunk, we can move to something else and go back to it. But if it is a major thing, let's say we're going to write a chapter in a book, and I have a missing chunk of information, sometimes that bugs me to the point that I don't get anything done. I haven't planned what to do later, planned that I can now read this thing, make a summary of it, or whatever needs to be, take pictures out of it, or whatever that case may be. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we don't do that. But I find that many times we train ourselves to do what we want to do. And sometimes that's the calm head that thinks. Now, sometimes you have to react, but sometimes we can think. You know, we have a situation. Let's say that you're in a kitchen. We spend lots of time in kitchens, but how many of us take the time to have a handy fire extinguisher, know where we're going to go if something can break out? Have first aid kit available? Yeah, I know you sound like some caricature of a person, but these are things that can actually save your life, and we don't think about them. Whereas prior to, let's say we have a pan, a grease pan catch on fire, we can put it out, and within a few minutes, relax, compose ourselves, and go back to it. But if we're not prepared, we could burn our house down. We could burn ourselves up. Some of these things come because we have wisdom, and we have to use it, to use it. I remember running out of gas on an interstate, and I had a car that told me how many miles remained on the tank. But I made an assumption. I'd never run the car until it stopped, until it ran out of gas. And I was expecting there to be a heel in the tank. The heel is kind of like gas that's there, but you don't really see it on the dial. And within about a gallon, within a couple of miles of the station that I was trying to, the car got to zero. When it got to zero, it stopped. It was accurate. My mind wasn't. I don't do that anymore. I understand. I learn from my lessons. If you don't learn from it, if you learn from it, it's a teaching tool. So you can look at it the way that you want to. We need these vital teaching tools. We use those tools to our advantage. Sometimes we repeat what we did, and we're trying to observe small things. And sometimes it takes a long time to do. People had been taking pictures of the heavens for years and years and years. And somebody used that method to discover Pluto. Pluto was our ninth planet, and it's now been demoted, and so to a minor planet or whatever, and so now there's only eight. But it was a very small thing to most people. Most people didn't even observe it. But it was there for everybody to see. Sometimes it's that uniqueness. We look at it. Sometimes we discover planets by looking at stars. And as that planet goes around that star, we see a dimming of the star, a brightening, depending upon where it is most of the time. And sometimes that is the small thing that we're seeing. Millions of people could be looking at the same thing, and not observe that small difference. This is a reason that I have so much respect for ancient man, because they have observed, they understand certain things. This is why certain moons have names to them, the harvest moon, because it happens after a certain period of time. The first one after this is that, and the second one is this, and so forth. It was observations coupled with sense and a desire to make order out of chaos. If you planted your crops too early because you had a warm day, you could starve to death. Right now, or last week in Michigan, they were on pins and needles. I don't know the outcome of it, but the cherry crop was blooming. And at that stage, temperatures into the upper 20s could be disastrous to the crop, instantly killing a lot of it. Culture, we sometimes have control of exactly when we're going to do this. We have control of when we're going to do this. And so sometimes delaying by a week or two makes a difference. Here we had temperatures in the 80s not long ago. And later we had potential frost warnings. I don't think we got down to that temperature. But the right set of conditions can cause frost because water evaporates. And air temperature may be one thing, and that plant may be suffering as well. But there are things that we can do if we think about it, if we just think about it. And so this is a great part of our successful foray into something that is unusual for us. Most of us have never taken a class in high school or college on success principles. As a chemist, I didn't have them. Maybe as a philosopher, you might get into some of that. But I know other people that did not. And the people that I am appealing to in many cases are doing something that they were not trained to do. My blog is on Black history, which arose out of a different desire that I had, and that was to motivate and inspire people. And one of my driving forces at the time was to inspire those people that normally don't see themselves in successful roles. And so I set about looking at people that did things that look like us, but not exclusive to us. That's not an exclusive thing. But it got me interested in something completely different. When I started the blog, it was not necessarily to get information out to hundreds and thousands of people. The purpose was to see if I could stick to doing something on a schedule. Now, today, I normally post. The post is ready. But I ended up having to go to the doctor, and I spent most of my day so far at the doctor or in association with it, because I had to travel to a different state to see the doctor. And it will be posted shortly after this program. But again, that's a workaround. It's not what I would normally do. I would have done this last night, except I was tired. I knew that I needed to be rest today. And I knew that I could get it done today, although not at the same time. So why tie myself up into knots when I didn't have to? Because I don't get paid for doing it. It's something that I want to do. It's something that I desire to do. It's something that I see purpose in doing. And many of you have that same motivation behind what you're doing. Some of you don't. Some of you may be automobile mechanics and looking for a way to get your own shop. It may start one way with the intent of growing it into something else. And along the way, you may find something different. I see ads on TV for a particular brake shop, and they are successful because the only thing they do are brakes. Many times an auto mechanic wants to do this, that. And sometimes that takes away, because in order to do this, that, and then the other, you have to have parts for this, that, and the other. Sometimes you can specialize. Sometimes we say we don't have a building. But what's to prevent us from going to the customer and doing the work? Now, some people, and I've known some great mechanics that operated that way, but there was a difficulty there. That was billing, collecting the money that was owed to them. It may be to your advantage not to deal with that at all, but to hire somebody to do it. Hire a bill collector. Now, I don't mean one of these people that go around and call you and say, if you don't do this, we're going to burn your house down or some such foolishness or this, that, or the other, but some person to handle it. And sometimes as a mechanic, you don't have or it appears different if you don't pay for it up front. But this billing person can say, okay, pay, we'll do it at this time, this is what we're going to do, et cetera. If that is the case, sometimes you can really increase your income. Yeah, you have to pay that person, but sometimes it's worth it. This is what I'm talking about sometimes as a team. They don't need to know everything that you're doing, but certainly they need to know how to charge. They need to know how to make sure of it. And sometimes just in and of itself makes a big difference. Most people are operating and they do the work and then collect for it. Some don't. You know, you might go get tires and you may have to pay for them before they put them on the car, which is better than putting the tires on the car and finding out the customer can't pay you. There are angles that we need to look at. How can we make this thing better? How can we do it better? You know, I've often thought in most cases we want a fairly sterile environment when we work. What is to prevent a mechanic from having box truck of some sort where he or she, because women can be mechanics as well, brings it into the box truck in conditioned comfort, heat, cold, whatever. Make sure that you have exhaust. Make sure that your safety concerns are addressed and perform that way, as opposed to a building that people might not be able to find. That may be something up and coming. I remember when doctors used to make house calls. No more. Things have evolved. We're now seeing Bed Bath and Beyond possibly closing their doors forever. Comes from a point where the business climate has changed. People normally don't run to a store just to buy a bath mat or a measuring cup when they can go the half mile down the road and find it. So I don't know their presence on the internet, but some people have gotten around it because of the imagination. The head of the corporation is responsible for that. And sometimes you have to look into the future and predict what you think is going to happen. But we see this is not the only corporation that's done that. I remember at one time Montgomery Ward, JCPenney's, Sears were kings of the hill, and people could not imagine life without them. But I also remember that they used to mail out catalogs. Those things were probably 2 inches thick. I don't know how much they weighed, but they had to put fear in the minds of postal deliverers. Phone books were the same way. We don't see that now. Somebody foresaw ways of communicating in a different manner. You are that creative genius that I'm talking to right now. You are that person. Now, as we get ready to close out, I see that we have a caller. I don't know if the caller has anything to say or comment on, but I continue to forget this. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a suggestion, you may be listening using the internet as your connection. But if you want to speak or have something to say, the number to call is 646-668-8217. Now, I do a program on Sunday where I delve into many of the factors affecting black life. It's not a program just for black people, but it does focus on what black life is like and about, and white people can find great understanding there. And we do this, and again, any of the programs on Crown Talking Drums can be contacted using this number when they're on the air. I see I have a caller from 686 area code, and I'm opening that mic in case that person has something. If you don't have anything, don't worry about it. We're not here to embarrass anybody, but we are here to try to answer questions, comments, problems that a person may have, because we all learn from this. It's many times I would be in school and I would have questions, but I didn't bring them up because I didn't want anybody to think I didn't know everything. And that is about as dumb as I could be at the time, because if I knew it all, I'd have been teaching the class, not taking the class. Caller, do you have any comments or anything that you'd like to say at this time? If you do, simply unmute yourself and make them known. This is a caller from area code 828. If you have anything, if you don't worry about it. I am thankful that you're here. Most of the people listen through the connection, but I like personally to be able to interact with people, and I think it's a people's show. And sometimes I'm buttonhooked by people in public that say, what about this? And I find that refreshing. Sometimes we can answer the question. Sometimes we can lead them towards an answer. Sometimes it educates me. Sometimes I can get suggestions from other people that help other people. This program is about helping other people succeed. We talk about our youth. And many times kids can improve their grade, a grade or two, simply by doing their homework as soon as practical. We often, and this goes to adults as well, we do what we want to do before what we need to do. We need to do what we need to do before we do what we want to do. Do it. Strike while the iron is hot. And this allows us and propels us. And like I said, try to make the things that we have on our to-do list small enough that we can do them in small chunks, because we can tick it off. We can see the success. We know what we've done. And if we have a problem, so oftentimes because we've broken it down, we can go to the next step. Sometimes we can't. But these are success principles that successful people use. I've talked to during my lifetime, many people that were filthy rich. And I watch what they do. And it's motivated me. I never put myself in that position because I don't know why. But sometimes we don't realize that the Creator has endowed us with everything he endowed other people with. Sometimes we face challenges. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy and think that degrees or educational knowledge is superior to intellect. And it's not. All that shows is that we have been able to go through a designed course. We show a particular amount of efficiency in those classes. But in this country, there are billionaires with a B that have never finished high school. The opportunity is there. It's there for you as well as for anyone else around. These are the people that I'm talking to. These are the people that I want to inspire, that I want to motivate. And I want our children to be inspired and motivated. I understand that there are diseases, there are conditions that we have that we don't fully understand, whether it's Alzheimer's or autism. Answers are going to come, and they're going to come from the fact that we encourage everyone. There is no upper or lower age limit on success. No upper or lower limit on success. There is no requirement that you have a degree. It's helpful, but not essential. Helpful, but not essential. We are given what we need by God. I have a grandson that I admire greatly, not that I don't admire them all, but he suffered a physical injury, is unable to walk. But what he has done from a chair, many able-bodied people have never done. A couple of weeks ago, he was invited to California to speak to some people. Now, he's only been out of college a couple of years, but I find that inspiring because I see ordinary, regular people doing things well beyond anything they ever imagined. I never imagined them doing that. I never imagined myself speaking to people. And part of that is because of the podcast that I'm doing right now. If you had seen me a few years back and heard me now, there's no way that you would connect the two of us, because I did not have the self-confidence. I did not have the material that I know. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I learn? Yes. The only failure is when you make mistakes and stay down. Man is designed for that. That's why as babies we learn to fall before we learn to walk. We learn to fall safely without injuring ourselves before we learn to walk. We have 90 seconds. I appreciate everybody on the line. I know that we had some difficulty in getting on at the beginning, but I'll see you again next week at 7 p.m. on Thursday, and I hope that you join us Sunday at 4 p.m. for some exciting discussion. We're going to be talking about qualified immunity. Most people may not know what that is, but it affects your life every day. Join us. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. The program Sunday starts at 4 p.m. Eastern, and I hope to see you there. Share the word about this program, and be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. Have a blessed week.